I wanted to start today's reflection by being really honest with you that I had some hesitation about speaking a week after my favorite dynamic duo, Lenny and Peter. Sure, Lenny is cantankerous, pessimistic, and, well, a rat, but there's so much to love once you look deeper. And then there's Peter, who is funny, well-rehearsed, and puts up with the amazing number of insults that Lenny throws his way with some grace and dignity. And for my days in theater, we call that kind of a tough act to follow. But I will endeavor to do my best and be grateful that Lenny isn't critiquing this in real time as we delve a bit more into wisdom and pair it today with justice. I read through the scripture suggestions on this topic for this week, and frankly, they kind of irritated me. There was a scripture in Daniel that dealt with wisdom and had a favorable outcome for the young men in that, but the Esther scripture, which dealt with a queen and her wisdom in refusing her husband's summons, ended with her being cast out of the kingdom and the words, "Every man should be master in his own house." I wasn't finding much to work with in that, and I was a little bit frustrated that the Bible was not feeling very supportive of women's rights, regardless of the time period and patriarchy, so I just cherry-picked and found other scripture to work with. I think one of the most dramatic stories in the Bible deals with both wisdom and justice, and it's the story that many of us are familiar with of King Solomon and the two mothers that came before him to argue that the remaining living baby from their household belonged to each of them. Both of the mothers had given birth within a few days of each other, and when one of the babies died in the night, the mother upon whose baby had passed, upon realizing that, switched babies for the living one and tried to pass it off as her own. King Solomon seemed pretty irritated with their arguing and in his wisdom ordered that the living baby be cut in half so that each of the women would have part. And the baby's real mother declared that the other woman could keep the baby if only the king wouldn't put him to death. The king, who clearly had no intention of infanticide, declared that she was in truth the real mother and ordered the baby to stay with her. There's so much in the Bible that I find unsatisfactory for many reasons, but that story, I'm like, yeah, that has always rang true to me, even from childhood. So his wisdom helped him deduce the correct answer to this mystery, and he was just, showed a lot of justness in returning the baby to its actual mother. And that brings us to justice. I've been thinking a lot about justice this past week, month, and year. One of my daughters was witness to a crime a year ago, and while she was not the victim directly, she was victimized in that it has shaken her view of the world as a mostly safe place to be. And that's a lesson we all unfortunately learn sooner or later. But for her, it was far too soon, in my opinion. It robbed her of a lot of remnants of her innocence at the age of 13 and has thrust her into an adult world of decisions that affect the rest of your life. And how do justice and wisdom intersect, especially in a case like this? Wisdom would teach us that trauma causes hurt and hurting people hurt others, so the root of many crimes against others are planted in a person's formative years, whether through loss, abuse, or lack of care. In Micah 6:8, we read that the Lord requires us to do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with our God. But what does doing justice look like in everyday practice? Is it just to try a person for his wrongdoing, knowing that the penal system in our country is guilty of treating the incarcerated with such an enormous lack of dignity, and even so far as to withhold basic sanitary necessities if you don't have the ability to pay? Is it just to re-traumatize the victims of crime by putting them through a trial that has little to do with their needs and healing and comfort and everything to do with procedure? How do we as a society punish those who hurt us while knowing that their lack of resources to heal these traumas probably played a large role in carrying them out in the first place? And why can't we support consequences with parallel rehabilitation, addressing mental health issues, the trauma I mentioned, and lack of resources? I'm sure Chris and Ray could give a much more detailed talk about the shortcomings of the United States penal system, And that might be a really great topic for another time. But I'm moving on to another example of this. I am currently reading a book that's been banned in the school district of Menominee Falls by one of my favorite authors, Jodi Picoult, called 19 Minutes, and it's about the aftermath of a school shooting. And it's not at all what I expected, and I'm a little surprised that I wasn't prepared, because of course there's the horror of the loss and how it affects those who were hurt or killed or left behind, and the nation who lives in fear of the next school shooting tragedy. But in this fictionalized retelling, the story is going back into the shooter's earliest days, and when he was first bullied in kindergarten, and how that never changed for him and just grew over the years in a small town, and how those among us that are perceived as different can be branded and targeted until they themselves target others in a horrific way. There is no wisdom in killing others to stop our own personal pain, but yet when an abuser in a marriage, in an abusive marriage, is killed by his spouse, we can sometimes see that it's not justice for her to be imprisoned for the rest of her life. So these two things can be true at the same time, and it's hard to balance wisdom and justice and deliver either in many of these situations. In Proverbs 21:15, we read, "When justice is done, it brings joy to the righteous, but terror to evildoers." And I wonder if this doesn't contribute to an incorrect understanding of people as good or evil, black or white, us versus them. This type of thinking can allow us to ignore the humanity in others and demonize people who think or act differently. There are many shades of gray, and even when we understand another's actions to be unequivocally wrong, such as many instances of murder, we can have an understanding and wisdom that not all people are all good or all bad, and some actions don't make up the entirety of that person. My other daughter asked me for my wisdom this week, and you really could have knocked me over with a feather, because she did so in front of her friends, stating that my mom gives really good advice. It could be because I'm almost 50, and therefore I'm officially really old in a teenager's eyes, or that I'm a midwife, and along with terrible working hours comes this mantle of wisdom that can be a perk in certain situations. Or it could be that I was just happened to be an adult who was willing to listen to their problems. But in any event, I was asked how to deal with a friend who crossed boundaries to the point that their friend group didn't want to associate with her anymore, but they were afraid of her anger and bad behavior if they told her directly why they were pulling away from this friendship. I can only hope that my response of being kind while setting boundaries and refusing to engage if the other person wasn't respectful of them was somewhat useful, albeit hard to comprehend for a group of 17-year-olds. So much in life is learning that we can't control how another person reacts, and that's a really big concern, especially for a group of older teenagers. Wisdom, I think, lies in knowing that our actions should be kind and fair and aim to cause the least amount of pain as possible while protecting ourselves from undue harm. And those lessons take most of us half a lifetime, if not longer, to even begin to grasp. Something I have learned about wisdom is that you have to be ready to hear it, and it needs to resonate with you. Wisdom doesn't always come with age, and the young often surprise us with wisdom, especially if we are open our hearts to receiving it. In the proverb, Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, talks about learning about wisdom and instruction, understanding words of insight and gaining instruction in wise dealing, righteousness, justice, and equity. So wisdom teaches us about justice and equity. Learning wisdom is for the sake of justice. And justice is about balance in this world. When there is justice and equity, we all have enough resources to survive and thrive. Therefore, it's an important skill to recognize and practice not only for ourselves and the benefit of our own lives, but for the benefit of those around us and our interconnected humanity. I'm reading a book that deals with Navajo people, and one thing that struck me that I didn't put into the sermon was that the Navajo way talks a lot about balance, and they specifically talked about it in terms of balance, not just among people, but the balance of all the creatures and the earth, and how that interconnectedness and that balance brings peace. And that really resonates with me, especially in light of today's topic. So wisdom is one of those things that most benefits us when it's shared with us, and we have a chance to learn from it and hopefully have it positively affect our lives. Wisdom can have a ripple effect. In fact, it should. So what I want to do now is an activity that encourages us to consider wisdom and its impact on our own lives as a way to actively engage in what we've been considering and will continue to hear about in the next few weeks. So James, if you would pass out the pens and paper to everyone. While he's doing that, I want each of us to think back on, pick one of the best pieces of wisdom or advice you have ever received or have come to learn on your own, and pick something that you are willing to share or talk about with others, and then we're going to write it down on our piece of paper, and we're going to take a few minutes to do that, and then I'm going to have everyone break into groups of two, maybe three people, but the smaller the better. So one of your favorite or best pieces of wisdom that you have received from another or figured out on your own, probably through a painful lesson, as most wisdom comes to us. All right. We are going to have a little time now. If James would come up and grab the mic. Thanks, bud. If anyone is willing to share what you talked about in your small group with the congregation and why it was impactful, and this would be a way of extending the conversation into our greater community, that would be great. We will still have time later for our typical reflection and prayer requests, but this is just still part of the activity. Thanks for playing along with my ideas today.